If you just love the Divergent Trilogy by Veronica Roth, then stay tuned, because this is Faction Fandom. Welcome back, everybody, to episode 26, where we talk about all wonderful things about the Divergent Trilogy, including news, chapters, weird games that we tried to come up with on our own, but really stuff from other people, and book recommendations. My name is Stephanie.
And my name is Alyssa.
So it's been a crazy while since we got together. Yeah. And I formally apologize to everybody for getting out last week's episode late. It doesn't really count, because by the time you listen to this episode, you won't know what I'm talking about, but we went through a whole month in July where there wasn't any content.
And we had a moment. Well, we recorded in July.
I would like listeners to understand is that Alyssa is very good at being on schedule, and we record every other week usually.
We do.
It's the editing and the posting on the internet that I'm really slow at. And so when things come up, it's like, oh, look, there's four episodes in 1 month, but there's only one episode the next month. How did that work out?
You know what?
It happens.
I'm willing to accept it and be, you know, like, whatever. You have to be a little bit chill about these things.
It's sporadic. You know what? I'll work on it. And then maybe by the time New Year comes around, I can actually make a New Year's resolution that I'm successful at.
I flat out refuse to believe in New Year's resolutions.
Me too, because if you haven't done it before, what makes you think you're going to do it in the new
year?
And
I never do it.
I'd much rather, like, lose weight on a Tuesday. Like, just decide one day, Yes, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to become a vegan and just do that. Like, don't...
I mean, I'm never going to be vegan.
Well, no, me either. I was using an example.
No, I don't know anybody who has ever kept a New Year's resolution. But this is completely beside the point.
No, it's not even, like, school time yet.
It's not even modern development. Actually, it will be school time, probably, around the time you post this.
Oh, well, that's an excellent point. So welcome back, all new school students. Good job.
Paula, you made it through the summer.
They're really thrilled about that, I'm sure.
Sorry, guys. If it makes them feel any better, I didn't have a summer.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Hashtag adulthood.
Hashtag adulthood.
Alyssa, I wanted to talk to you about, you know, we talk a lot about books, and we talk a lot about books we love, but have you ever started a series or a book, like, with really high hopes and anticipation? It started out really, really good, and then just flop. I say this, and now I realize that you probably are going to have a different opinion, because as everybody knows, you like to skip ahead and read the ending of books, so you know whether or not you want to finish reading them.
You're not entirely wrong.
Okay.
I have had moments. So most recently, I started reading Allie Carter's All Fall Down. And I love Allie Carter. Her Gallagher Girl book, The High Society, I love them. Mm-hmm. They make me very happy. I love everything about them. Like, not even funny. And so I pick up, I'm like, yes, new Allie Carter book. What? I start the book 20 pages in. So I flip to the end of the book, because that's what I do. And I'm like, oh, this sounds kind of interesting. I wonder how it happens. I get 50 pages into the book, and I'm like, I hate this. I hate everything about this.
Oh my goodness.
I stopped reading the book. It was really disappointing because, I, like I said, I love Allie Carter. And it was really disappointing to me that it just was not for me. And it was very disappointing. But that happens sometimes. I also couldn't for the life of me finish Rebel Bell. So there's that.
Really?
I went into that with such high expectations.
Oh, man, I'm so nervous now because I'm really excited to read that.
You know, a lot of people really enjoyed it, and I don't know what it was about it that put me off, but please do not let my opinion stop you from reading it.
No, I'm still really excited to read it. I'm waiting until I get through, like, my first five other books on my list before I pick it up. I'm excited for that one. Well, man, I'll let you know.
Yeah, let me know, and You know, I a lot of people I know really enjoyed the book. So you would not be the only one.
Do you typically not finish a book if you think it's going to let you down, I guess?
Sometimes The Magicians by Lev Grossman. By about halfway through, I pretty much knew it was not going to have the satisfying ending that I wanted it to have because I wasn't completely, like, the middle wasn't completely selling me. But I
Really?
finished, yeah, and it was not a satisfying ending in any way. But I finished it because it's one of my best friends just absolutely adored the book, and I couldn't. He gave me one of those, like, sad puppy faces where he's just, like, a bottom lip comes out. Alyssa, please read the book for me. So I read it. I was not a fan. He's like, did you finish it? Did you finish it? I'm like, yeah, it was interesting. And he's like, I'll get you the next one. I'm like, you really don't need to do that. He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, you really don't need to do that. You're just gonna waste your money. Please don't get me the next book.
I feel that way when my mom tries to go shopping with me and she picks out things she thinks I'll like and she's so excited about it. And I'm like,
Yeah.
I love you, but no,
No.
negative.
Sorry, no.
I guess in a sense, the last book in trilogies usually let me down.
Really?
I don't understand that. It's bad considering we're reading a trilogy. But I think about, for instance, The Hunger Games. I've only read Mockingjay once, many years ago, and I remember it being so boring. And I just don't understand how that worked out for them.
I tend to think the middle books are the worst.
Really?
Yeah.
I love the middle books. And I kind of feel that way about this series that we're reading, Allegiant. Left a lot of questions for me. I felt like there was something left that I wanted, not just the obvious things, but I felt, you know, like there was that gut feeling like, well, what happened here? And
Yeah.
also, Insurgent is my favorite out of the whole series. So that's interesting that we both say that.
Yeah, I tend to find the middle books to be stagnant. I
I
don't know.
can't think of any others though. Like, is it just trilogies or is it all series?
No, I find it to be specific to trilogies.
I don't know. I do remember one series in specific, though, and that was called Birthmarked by Kara O'Brien.
Okay.
And this was before I read Divergent. And it's a dystopian trilogy.
Okay.
And it had this really interesting premise about there being like a sickness, like a disease, to where people could not have kids. And so they started taking children from like the lower classes. And making sure that they married into people who were, what's that word when you can't have children? Bear.
Infertile.
Thank you. Infertile families. So that they could kind of mix genes and things like that. And there was a lot of science in that. And I thought it was very interesting. And it was kind of different.
Yeah.
You know, like the idea that society can't procreate, and that is what the problem is. It's not like a disease that's killing people, but it kind of is because it's killing, you know, the race.
Yeah.
And so they're having to do this thing. And there was a lot of things happening. And then book two happened. And I was very excited about this. And book two doesn't even take place in the same world. Like
Ooh.
the main characters of book one ran away. And then they spent all their time in the forest discovering this whole new society. So you get the idea that in book three, they're going to combine them somehow and fix the problems that were in book one. But then there are also still problems in book two that you have to worry about. And book three didn't do any of that.
Ooh.
It was like, what? I don't understand.
Ugh.
So
Oh, anyway.
sometimes they get you. And I guess for me, most of the time, I notice it's like trilogies and books that have a bigger story arc because you become invested.
Yes.
And then when they don't deliver, you're just like, poor thing.
Poor thing.
I almost wanted to do non-recommendations, books that you just won't, don't recommend to people ever.
I think that's a terrible idea.
Terrible idea. So I guess we'll go ahead and move on to our news. And our big news, basically, in our Divergent world is that the DVD came out last Tuesday. And you know, when you want to buy a DVD, but there's always those special exclusive, you know, like exclusive copies at certain stores.
Yep.
So I did a little research, and this is what I found out.
Look at you being clever.
You know, people are going to want to go, they're going to want to buy Insurgent, but a lot of people want to get the best deal. And I feel like these are very interesting, like movie sets
Yeah.
for different people. So in Walmart, they are combining exclusive Divergent and Insurgent DVD packs together. And it's like for a normal price, I think, like for $22, you don't get Blu-ray and you don't get the digital copies.
Yeah.
But you do get like the double disc set. One's a DVD, one's a special features disc. So for
Cool.
people who enjoyed Divergent but never got around to buying it, this might be your better deal to get
Yes.
because you're only going to be able to find this specific set at Walmart.
Target is also doing a deal, but Target's deal is vastly different. In Target, you get the Blu-ray, the DVD, and the ultraviolet disc. And on the discs, you get a lot of exclusive content, including Insurgent in Style, more detail on the simulations, a Veronica Roth does an interview, 4 hours of special features, which I think is really cool. And it's all for $23, which is pretty impressive considering you get three different DVDs.
Alrighty, and then Best Buy also is selling an exclusive copy. The big thing you're going to get at Best Buy is that you'll get the DVD Blu-ray set, but you're going to get it. It's called the Steelbook Edition. Basically, just means that the box have that shiny foil. It's like a metal box.
Oh, cool.
But there's nothing really fancy about the content in the movie. It's just this specific copy has a higher resale value.
Ah.
So if you more are like, you know, like your movies to look really nice on the shelf, and maybe you collect them, or eventually you have the plans to resell them for something later, this might be the one you want. Also for the grand price of $22. I can't think of any other places that would have like exclusive copies. Can you?
No.
If you haven't bought the DVD yet, then that gives you an idea of what to look for. I think I might actually go to Target now because, as somebody who runs this podcast, I'm probably going to want to get the one with all of the content. Not to mention, I already own Divergent, so.
There you are.
But that makes great Christmas gifts, I think.
I think so.
Moving on, Comic-Con happened,
Yes, it did.
and we didn't go.
No, we did not.
And as far as I understand, nothing fancy about Allegiant happened at Comic-Con. I'm sure there were some people there,
I think so.
like selling things, but I don't think there was like a big panel or anything like the Hunger Games or
No.
Star Wars or anything. But,
No.
you know, I hear a lot of talk about Comic-Con and how it's crazy. And you've been to conventions, like you've been to BookCon before, right?
Yep. I've been to the New York Comic Con. I'm going again this year.
So, if you were going to go to San Diego Comic-Con, like that one see that big kahuna once a year, what would you go for? What would really sell it to you? Because at this point, I don't really see the only point I would think to go is to say that you've done it once in your life. I don't know. I mean, I really don't see the point in going for to see trailers or anything like that because all of that's released later. And it used to be where you can, you know, see everything in 3 days. You really have to pick one or two things you really want to do and
Yeah.
devote yourself to that because it is so packed.
Yeah. I mean, I think so. If I was going to go to Comic-Con, I'd probably go see a couple panels. Like, I'd probably go see Chris Hardwick do a panel. I don't even think I'd care what panel he was doing. It would probably be Doctor Who. I'd go see Doctor Who panel. I'd go see Supernatural panels. I'd check out Marvel. I'd check out the convention floor. Like sometimes they have some pretty cool free shit that goes on at Comic-Con. You can get some pretty badass shit at Comic-Con if you're really like paying attention. it just, you just have to kind of know where you're going and what you're doing to make it, to make it worthwhile. You really have to have a plan.
I think it's good to go in numbers.
Yeah.
I also think not to get your hopes set high.
Yeah.
Or something. If you set your hopes on one thing and, like, say hypothetically that one thing doesn't happen or work out for you, you don't want to ruin your whole thing. But no. I'm with you, Alyssa. I think all of the smaller panels and, like, the convention floor and, like, the things happening outside on the streets surrounding San Diego, like, you know, in San Diego, because it's not, like, all in one building, for instance. It's more, like, on a whole block of things. And I feel like some of those little things are really, you know, how you enjoy yourself, because those are, that's how you're going to get the most experience.
Yeah.
You're going to be able to pack more things in the small amount of time you have.
Exactly. I am going at the whim of two of my girlfriends to the New York Comic Con. I am going as Poison Ivy.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm excited now. Okay, so you're going to address that?
I am. One of my girlfriends is going to be Catwoman, and the other one is going to be Harley Quinn. And they figured that I could be Poison Ivy because canonically Poison Ivy and Harley Quinn are, like, super gay for each other. And my girlfriend, who's going to be Harley Quinn, and I already have this, like we're just, like, all over each other anyway, so it doesn't matter. So it works.
So y'all can make that a little canon.
This is our thing. And I'm like, awesome. Thanks, guys. Thanks for picking my outfit out for me.
We'll have fun at New York Comic Con. And we are going to move on to question, and that is, what is the Jurassic World sequel going to be about, Alyssa?
I think it's going to be about...
I'm just waiting for your answer. I just want to know.
Okay, so I think it's going to be about, you know, they're going to go back to... Because apparently, they're coming back. They're reprising their roles.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to find some reason as to why they need to go back. And Claire and Owen are going to go back to the island and, like, mutate. Like, I don't know. Indominus Rex is going to have, like, miraculously survived somehow. Or, like, something's going to mutate all on its own. And alternatively, it's going to be, like, well, we need to make sure they've all died because, yeah, for reasons.
I came up with some scenarios.
My mind is blown, and I don't really know how to, like, handle my life right now.
They've got some time. It doesn't come out to, like, 2018. But I really did think about this because I was like you. I had a momentary, like, lapse of thought because I couldn't think about anything for about 5 or 8 minutes. And then when my brain actually kicked in, I thought, okay, no, you know what I want to see happen? I want to see something drastic happen. Every sequel, they have an opportunity to step it up or to change something. And this is what I want to see. Something along the lines of maybe the carnivores turn into herbivores and the herbivores turn into carnivores. In the sense that now, like, the Stegosaurus is going to be the major kill factor. Okay, that was one scenario I came up with. Another one I came up with is zombie dinosaurs. So they send, like, a bomb or some, like, atomic gas on the island and they kill off everything, but it won't die and it comes back to life every time they try to kill it. So zombie dinosaurs. And then my third thought, and this is very original, and I realize they can't do this, but I think the concept is very, very cool. If it was, like, super futuristic and they went Planet of the Apes, only it's Planet of the Dinosaurs. So the dinosaurs are the ones that are having to hide from the people because the people are the savages. And the dinosaurs have evolved and become super intelligent. Those are my three scenarios. And if it's not one of those three, then I don't want to go see it.
I just wish that our listeners could see my face.
I'm telling you, I'm telling you, I really don't think the Planet of the Dinosaurs is going to sell, but I think it's the most original
It's
idea.
totally the
Although the
most
zombie
original
dinosaurs
idea.
really does compel me to really want something more out of it. So I don't,
Yeah.
just some you have the Deadpool trailer.
I'm
So what do we think about that?
so excited.
I feel like there should be two reactions. One to the Deadpool trailer, and then one to the Deadpool trailer Red Band Edition. They very much love that it's going to be rated R. So when it came out, Alyssa actually texted me like the pre-teaser
Trailer.
trailer
The
that
trailer for the trailer.
like here's the Deadpool trailer tomorrow. And I was just like, really? I just got all excited for nothing. Okay.
Yeah.
And then it came out and it was incredible and
Yes, it was.
so funny.
Yes, it was. Oh.
And then at the very end, he comes on, he's like, check out the rated R Red Band edition of the trailer because that's what you really want to watch. And it was kind of even better. So
Was so
I'm excited.
good. It was so good.
It was really
I'm so
good.
excited.
How do you feel about it being rated R though? I wanna just have this one talk once and then we'll never talk about it again.
Okay.
Do you think there are any downfalls to them making Deadpool a rated R movie?
No, I think that, well, okay, maybe the only downside is that tweens are gonna like freak out and try and figure out their way into the movie theater. They shouldn't, but they're going to anyway. I mean, parents are gonna take their kids because they're like, oh, it's a Marvel movie.
His name is Deadpool.
Yeah.
How do you expect a character like that to be a family-friendly character?
I just don't know.
There's
He's also known as the Merc with the mouth.
he's
So
the what? What'd you say?
the Merc with the mouth.
The merc with the mouth.
So
Okay.
he's kind of an asshole. I mean, like, he's just sassy and just says the worst things.
He does. What's that word for people who like do wrong but don't really give a shit if they do wrong?
Not
But it's not like like there are people who I don't know what the word is.
sociopath.
Sociopath. Okay, yeah, so like their moral compass is just,
Screwed.
I feel like that's kind of what he is. He's got a very off-kilter moral compass.
Yes.
Although I'm interested to see what the plot of the story is going to be because of that.
It'll be fun.
And I think that's all the news we have. Do you have anything to add, Alyssa?
I don't actually. I wish I did.
Oh, we're going to start. Go ahead and our chapter by chapter, we talk about Insurgent the book.
Yay.
We are almost done. What chapters are we reading? 37 through.
42.
So to let you guys know where we left off at last time, with chapter 36, Triss and Tobias escaped Erudite with Peter, and now they're in abnegation. So in chapter 37, Triss wakes up in Tobias's house. And when they go downstairs, there's this interesting, like, sort of domestic moment.
Yeah.
Later on, Marcus finally wises up and he asks Triss to help him get the data back from Erudite. And this is like this ongoing thing that they've been having since like the beginning of the book, right?
Right.
And this is what we know about this data. Abnegation wanted to like set it free. The factionless are going to destroy all of Erudite and the data with it. It's about what's outside the fence. Triss's mom, Mama Pryor, died because of this, whatever it is, information. And it has to do with the Divergent people. And Marcus knows what it is. He won't tell Triss what it is, but he's finally asking her to help him. And we know she's going to, but she has to question herself and everything. And that is chapter 37.
Basically, yes.
When Tobias turns to Triss and he asks her, are you okay being here in abnegation? She says that it doesn't hurt as bad as it used to, and that the simulations at Erudite helped her. So, I mean, what did you think about that?
It was kind of, I don't know, it just seemed really out of character for her. It really goes against pretty much everything that I would ever consider her to be okay with. And I was shocked that she even kind of said that. I don't
I
know.
don't know. Maybe it's the betrayal of Caleb. Maybe it's the
Maybe.
thing she learned about Janine and this data while she was in Erudite. All of this was a big eye-opener for her.
Yeah.
She's definitely a changed person. I thought that was weird that she said that the simulations that Janine put her under changed her. Like, okay.
Yeah, that's just not something you'd really expect her to say.
Moving on, though.
Moving on. So in chapter 38, Triss starts to really consider Marcus's offer. Meanwhile, Evelyn announces their war plan and the strategy, which is going to be not pointed, but broad, rather. And, they're going to start with large numbers and send in the Dauntless special ops kind of thing. And, Lynn's like, I have to stay? Fuck that shit. And then, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's going to take place in 3 days. And Triss is like, she's like, I don't really understand this whole alliance between the Factionless and the Dauntless. And, she tells Tobias about it. And she's like, I just don't get it. And he's like, well, no, it's fine. Not natural. It's not something we would do, but they have the same goal. And,
But do they?
at this point, the Dauntless think they do.
That's true.
And she doesn't want to do it. She doesn't want to take part in it. And she isn't, she like says, I can't fire a gun. Tobias is like, you don't have to go. And she's like, I don't want to be a coward. He goes, you're not going to be a coward. You've done so much. And then and it's at that point that she decides to go with Marcus, basically. And thus ends chapter
She
39.
lies to him.
Again!
But is this lie any different?
No, not really.
She's lying to him about going with his dad.
It's
Ugh.
just a dick move.
I don't know. Like, I get why it's important because I've read the whole book, but
Yeah.
I don't
I get
know.
it, but I don't like it.
So in chapter 39, Triss kind of drags Christina into her plan with Marcus. Because Christina is candor at heart and she kind of understands the importance of like the truth being revealed. So she can count on her for that. And they go to Amity. I don't know why they really go to Amity, and I don't think I still understand why. They went because they needed to talk to Johanna about it.
Yep.
And they went because they need to talk to Kara and the other erudite. But when they go, a lot of things sort of happen. Like Johanna ends up stepping down because like her faction is very pro non-involvement. Kara and the other erudite want to come along for the ride. So it's very interesting. Like nothing really kind of goes as they thought it would. Although I don't really understand what they thought was going to happen anyway.
Right.
What is Johanna's plan exactly? I mean,
I just don't know. It was very confusing to me.
yeah, I don't get it either.
So then,
Okay,
chapter 40. What happens in chapter 40? Triss and Christina have met with Kara and the other erudites about, what they can do. Aaliyah explains that getting the data on the network rather than just getting the data and kind of distributing it is much more effective. And, they come up with a plan on how to do it. They have all the toys, as they put it. They've got all this stuff. But at one point, toward the end of the chapter, Triss asks one of the guys, Fernando, if he knew a person named Caleb. And Fernando goes, "Oh yeah, I think I remember Caleb. He was in my class, but he was what was the colloquial term for it? A suck up." There was a division between the initiates, between those who embraced everything that Janine said and those who didn't. And Caleb was a member of the group that embraced everything that Janine said. He said, but then he says, I wouldn't judge him too harshly because Janine can be extraordinarily persuasive to those who aren't naturally suspicious. And he has always been naturally suspicious. So I think it gives her kind of a better idea of how to maybe handle what happened with Caleb and why Caleb's doing what he's done.
Yeah, you kind of get the idea that maybe Jenny brainwashed them a little bit,
I think she brainwashed.
fed them false propaganda or something to latch onto to really persuade them. So,
Yeah.
is this network supposed to be like the internet where they can like share it on computers citywide?
I think so.
Okay. And then chapter 41, they decide to go together. This is everyone who's going. So Johanna steps down and she's bringing some people from Amity with her and some abnegation and some erudite and Trissa, Marcus, and Christina, and then the erudite gang. And they're all going in like food trucks. Do you get the idea that the factions are separated by fences, I guess? I always imagined it was more like a really big city and each faction was its own neighborhood. But from the way they describe it, they've got to like pass through security to get out of a faction, but also to get into one again. So
Know. It's kind of hard to understand because you just don't.
I don't have a visualization.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Lord knows the movie didn't give us anything to go by. But they're all going in, and I just love this one part while they're in the trucks. Fernando, and he's one of my favorite people that they cut, and I'm so mad at them for that. But he talks about, all the names that they're calling people, because Christina calls Triss a stiff, and he calls her an insurgent. And Fernando's this big geeky kid from Erudite, and they're like, "What are you coming up with now, Fernando?" He says, "The sergeant is a person who acts in opposition to the established authority, who is not necessarily regarded as belligerent. Someone who's against authority, but they're not that hostile. They're just trying to like go against the man,
Yeah.
and that's what they are. They're this team of insurgents." And I love whenever you find the book titles in the story.
It's fun.
And as they're going into Erudite, they're gonna climb up a building, and they've decided that they're gonna like jump from roof to roof. No, window to window. I always imagine the little princess where
Yeah.
she takes the board and she plops it between the houses and she tries to like, walk across the plank in the rain kind of thing.
I have so many emotions about that book.
And
Yes.
that's where chapter 41 leaves off at.
We're just gonna like really go fast through 42.
Okay, go for it.
Because there are lots of emotions in 42, and I'm not necessarily a fan of 42, but here we go. So we continue with the nickname thing, and apparently Fernando is Nando, and they're getting across the ladder, and they have to break the glass. And then, but Triss is like, I can't actually do it. It's probably a bad idea. So Christina does it. So when she does that, an orange light flashes and the window shatters. And at the exact same time, the candor dies, fire in the sky, and everyone drops to the ground. Triss goes across first. She's got a stunner. And once she's through the window, the ladder's more stable, and everyone kind of starts making it across. Kara's through the window, Christina's through the window, and Fernando's last, and only has the ladder secured from one side, and something slips out of his pocket. And then the candor person below fires and gets shot, and he gets shot in the leg. And then Christina tries to go get him, and he says, "No, let me be, leave me be, and don't be an idiot." And it's the last thing he says, and I'm not okay.
Oh man, I know. It's
I hate
like,
it.
yeah. I'm just not comfortable with death. This
I'm
is
like,
the wrong series to be reading for that. This is why I can't get through Game of Thrones. Like, he wasn't even an important character, but he kind of brought Christina out of her funk. And he was funny, and he was part of the Erudite gang, and I wasn't happy with this.
but I'm just not okay.
You know what makes it worse?
What?
It's not like he just died. He was a martyr.
Yeah.
That is very sad.
It is.
More things will happen
Yes.
later on, though. And so we will pick back up with chapter 44, all the way through till the end.
Yeah, we're almost done.
And we're like two-thirds of the way, and then we'll read Allegiant, and then we'll be done.
It's
And we'll never
amazing.
see each other again.
Oh, that's just a lie.
But this is exciting. It so is exciting. We'll have to have a party. I'll do something fun when we end Allegiant. Maybe we'll read some of the four stories.
Maybe. That would be fun.
If we're in the mood. I don't know. Yes. We'll let you guys know. Moving on to our game.
Okay.
It's called Rip It or Ship It. So I copied this game from a YouTuber. Alyssa and I have both come up with 10 character names.
Yep.
Some from Divergent, some not from Divergent. And basically, we're going to each pull out a name, and we're going to decide whether we ship them together or if we're going to rip it up.
Okay.
Okay. Round one. I got Kara from Insurgent.
I got Caleb from
Divergent. Ooh! Okay. This is interesting. Do we ship them?
In another world, I totally would.
I could see this. Yes, I could. Because they both value the smarts.
Uh-huh.
And like you said, in another world where Caleb isn't evil. I could see it. Yeah,
I see it. Okay.
Round two.
Okay.
Who'd you get?
Fernando.
Peta Malark.
Oh my god, I totally ship it.
Well, what if we know about Fernando?
I totally ship it.
He's kind of technical. See, he likes to categorize things. He is kind of a dork, and so is Peta. So Fernando could be like the scientific one in the family, and Peta would be the artist slash baker. So yeah. Peta would have all of the like life skills.
Yeah.
And Fernando would, he'd probably be the breadwinner and bring home all the money because he'd be the one who'd become a doctor.
Yeah.
Peta could stay home and take care of the kids and bake them toast. I could see that. I'll ship it.
I could see it. I ship it.
Alrighty. Round three. How many rounds do you want to do?
I don't know. We'll figure it out. Okay, ready?
Right. Yeah.
Who'd you get?
Cinder.
Triss.
Triss.
I'm pulling out all of my Divergent people first. This is funny.
You know, I don't think...
I
don't think I could.
I can't. I refuse.
Because Triss is too bitter.
Yeah.
Cinder has a much brighter personality than Triss does.
Yeah.
I love her.
Yeah.
Plus, I can't ship her with anyone but Kai.
Yeah, there's that. All right, next up.
I got... Who'd you get? I want to know yours first.
I got Etienne.
I got Janine Matthews.
No. God, no. I ship no one with that woman. Yeah. I ship no one with that woman.
Not even Etienne?
No.
He likes history.
No.
He likes science.
No.
Negative. I couldn't do it. No.
No.
Alrighty. That's round four. You want to have one more round?
Sure.
Round five. Final round.
Alright.
For those of you who don't know who Etienne St. Clair is, he's from Anna and the French Kiss.
Yes.
You should go read it.
You should.
Because it's a beautiful book.
It's wonderful.
I ripped it. I ripped it on accident.
Who did you get?
I got Alexia. Terabody. That's so fun! Okay, so we ship it. We totally ship it.
Oh my goodness, we so ship it.
Alexia Lord McCone.
Done. Sold.
Best one. You can't ship them with anyone else.
You really can't.
Oh, they're so perfect for each other.
They are.
High five. That was a good one to land on. Good. I think this is fun.
This is fun.
We should do this again.
We should.
Alexia and Lord McComb.
Oh, perfect way to end it.
Alrighty. So we are almost done for the day, but we can't get through an episode without recommending some more books.
Nope.
Because we support the publishing industry.
We do. So today I am going to recommend a book that I just picked up. I was actually in a little bit of a slump. Like, I wasn't really feeling into reading anything. And then I found this book on Sunday. afternoon and have just been so happy with it. And it's called The Secret Sky by Atia Abawe.
How do you spell that?
A-T-I-A-A-B-A-W-I. She is a foreign correspondent based out of Jerusalem, and she's ethnically Afghani.
Okay,
so
cool.
But she grew up in the United States. And this book is about these two young people in Afghanistan. One, the boy is Pashtun, and the girl is Hazarin, I think. And they fall in love, and they so cannot do that in any way. And they can't fall in love, but it's set in modern time, and it's just this really fascinating look into a culture that we just don't see. Like, Americans typically don't see it, and they just kind of like don't care sometimes.
They don't
about what it is. And this, I mean, it's beautifully written. It's fascinating. It's just, it's one of my new favorites.
I like, now I feel like I should recommend a good diverse book too. I wanna be cultural too.
That wasn't even the point of this.
No, I know, but I wanna be the smart one and have like cultural.
I literally found this by accident.
No, it's fine. This
book by accident. It has a beautiful cover, and I kind of fell in love with the cover, and then I read the back of it and was like, I need this in my life. Yeah.
And you liked it a lot. You like loved it.
I really did.
Mine is not as cultural, but it is interesting when I try to explain it. And it is called Going Vintage by Lindsay Leavitt. Going Vintage is about this girl who kind of gets burned by her boyfriend who has a cyber wife. It's like he cheats on her with somebody online.
Oh, okay.
But he doesn't meet the person who's online.
He just has an emotional
connection to that person, emotional right. relationship. Yeah.
Okay.
And she's like rummaging through her grandmother's old things. And right. she thinks that life was so much simpler back in the 50s when there wasn't phones and technology and computers. And yeah, it took you longer to research stuff, but you actually had conversations with people, and there wasn't any of this, you know, cybering anything. And she felt like as a junior in high school, she needed to be more like connected, more down to earth. And what I thought was going to be really cute, fun story ended up being a really cute, fun story, but also was a very big sort of coming of age story. So she ends up deciding to go vintage and cut all technology off. No phones, no computers, nothing that her grandmother could not have used before the hand. So she only wears clothes that are like vintage, and she only does her hair the way people back in the day did. So she doesn't use like a hair dryer or curling iron. Like her sister takes her alarm clock. And there's just a lot of really funny things happening. But what was really refreshing about it was she just discovers things about herself. And like what are her talents, and what, you know, does she like to do, and what does she value, and things like that. And it was really cute. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I was going to.
Good. It sounds really interesting.
I think that's it. This felt very non-dramatic, or like it went by really fast. I'm not sure.
Nothing really happened. Like, we didn't really have any serious technical issues.
I think you're right. It was nice.
It was.
If you think being on here would be nice to do, because we make it look so easy,
we do.
Then definitely write into us at factionfandompodcast@gmail.com. That's how you can get in touch with us. You can also follow us on Twitter at @FFandomPodcast. Follow us on Tumblr at faction-fandom. Or check out the website and subscribe there at factionfandom.com. Let's see here. We also want to remind you to go on iTunes. If you're subscribed to us on iTunes and you listen to us
regularly. Which is wonderful, by the way. We love you for that.
Definitely. Thank you. Also, we're going to ask you to do something for us, and that is to leave us a review, because that really helps other people get to know us.
Yeah.
You know, if you think we're entertaining, just write us a review and let people on the internet know that, hey, these people are pretty cool.
Alternatively, if you don't really feel like writing out a whole review, just click the 5 stars, and that will that'll just make us really happy too. You know, any rating you want to give us, preferably over 4 stars, it would be great. I would really enjoy that. Wouldn't you, Stephanie?
Do it for Alyssa, guys. I mean, I would really appreciate the 5-star review. Anyway, where can people find you on the internet, Alyssa?
They can mostly find me on Tumblr at abookblog.tumblr.com. If they want to see my long rants, they could go to just me, my books, and I on WordPress. That's basically it. Sometimes I do things on Twitter. Not really. I'm also on Instagram. I am on Instagram. I'm kind of okay on Instagram.
You're okay?
I am a bookish blog on Instagram because somebody took a book blog and does nothing with it.
I hate when people do that. I feel like you should be able to call into Twitter or Instagram and be like, help, you know, call customer service, help desk center. Like, hey, I really want this profile name, but other people have it, but they don't do anything with it. And I'm trying to make a brand for myself. Can you please tell them to get off?
Can you give it to me, please?
Yeah.
Because I'm obviously the better choice to have it.
I know. Like, you know, but
obviously the better choice to have a book blog on Instagram than, you know, anyone else. Because I am the book blog, which is weird to me. But anyway.
How do you book blog with Instagram exactly? Tell the listeners how you do that.
You take very pretty pictures of books.
That's it?
That's basically it.
And you have plenty of those.
I did just bring a whole bag of aesthetically pleasing books up to Vermont. So
okay. Things you can find me at afiercefangirl.tumblr.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Steph Beau Ray. That's like Stephanie, Steph, Beau, and then R-A-E. That's my middle name for anyone who wants to stalk me.
I like it.
And I'm not going to tell you to follow me on Instagram because I don't do anything with Instagram. I mostly just try to post all of my Pinterest. You can follow me on Pinterest, though. You can follow me on Pinterest at Steph Beau Ray. But that's it. And that's the episode. Yeah, we'll be back next time with chapters something to the end.
The last chapters.
Thank you for the last chapters. And we will see you guys next time.
We will.
Thank you so much. Have a great week. Good luck with starting school.
Yes. Best of luck.
Check out all of the cool how to dress like your Dauntless at school photos on things.
Do those exist?
They totally exist.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So definitely do that. And we'll see you guys next time. My name is Stephanie.
And my name is Alyssa.
Bye.
Bye.
If you love the Divergent Trilogy by... Can you hear me, by the way?
Hold on. Want to start that over again?
Yeah, I had this down. Never mind. No. I just got started and I realized I didn't see the mic in front of me and I forgot that I'm using the headset. And then I go, wait a minute. Is it even down?
Would I literally be having a conversation with you if I couldn't hear you?
You could. I know. Never mind. Just ignore me. And we're going to play Fuck, Marry, Kill with characters, because who doesn't love to play Fuck, Marry, Kill?
I never know what to do.
Do you really not like to play this game?
I mean, I'll play it. It's fine.
No. Let me propose my other game to you.
Who needs a theme?
Who cares? Books with death in it, maybe. But we're moving past that. So, sorry. Too soon.